Well, it's good to see you back tonight in the Lord's house. And we're talking about prayer. You should have received a little handout. It's a worksheet for us to go through, not just for tonight, but for this week, that you take some time and you go over this little handout and work your way through it. We'll be talking about it tonight before we dismiss. And covering it fairly thoroughly. When I was thinking about prayer and the importance of it, I'm reminded of a story that Jerry Clower told. You know, father and a son, son runs in the house. I think it was Marcel, but I'm not sure. But he runs in the house from outside, playing in the yard, and he said, "Lion in the street, lion, lion in the street, Dad, we got to hide." And he said, "Son, there's no lion in the street. There's not one out there. The neighbors had shaved their collie dog to look like a lion. But the boy come running in there and trying to get everybody excited. Dad said, I'm going to whip you, and I'm going to send you up to your room, and I want you to go up there and pray about lying, son." So he whipped him, and he chastened him, and he sent him up to his bedroom, and he said, "You stay up there till you get things right with God." Well, it hadn't been very long, and he'd come back down the stairs, and his dad was sitting there in the recliner watching TV, and he said, "Okay, son, are you down here because you got things right with God?" He said, "That didn't take you very long." He said, "Yeah, Dad, as soon as I got down on my knees and started talking to God, God told me first time he saw that dog, he thought it was a lion too." I don't think the boy got right, do you, Brother Greg? Fact of the matter is, though, we need to take our lives seriously before the Lord, and that's what this inventory sheet is that I've passed out for us tonight. It's a serious self-examination that I want us to take as we consider, as we pray, and look to enter into God's supernatural power and to live in His presence with His holiness. And so that is why I'm doing this, and the next 2 weeks after tonight, we'll also be taking an inventory of our heart in a little different direction than we do tonight. And so I want you to take this handout seriously. I want you to take the time to pray through these verses, through these thoughts that are given for each of these verses, and to really consider in your heart, there's something you need to change. There's something that you need God to work on in your life. Now, Matthew gives us the Sermon on the Mount, and as Jesus is preaching this message in Matthew 6, he says in verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." So there is great value in prayer. There's great value in praying secretly, not openly, but with just you and God looking on. And some of the things that you want to notice in this text that I just read in 6 verse 6 is that there's got to be a planning if you're going to pray. You've got to plan to pray if you're going to pray. When you pray, it says, enter into your closet. And so there's got to be a reckoning time that you have with yourself and God that this is going to be my time with Him. And if you don't plan, you can't work your plan, can you? You have to make one before you can actually accomplish one. And so when you pray, so plan to pray is what Jesus is saying here. Psalms 55, 17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." And you remember Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done aforetime." And Mark writes these words in chapter 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out," Jesus, "and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." There's some kind of connection there, isn't there? There's something that keeps reoccurring there, right? And that is, you go and you get alone and you pray before God and you spend time with the Father who's in heaven. And two of those passages, they did it 3 times a day. Now, I'm not going to limit you to 3, but you ought to at least try to take time to pray every day and do it as often as possible throughout the day. Continue in prayer. There's a planning of prayer. There's also a pattern for prayer. He said there in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 6, "And when you pray, enter into your closet." You see the pattern here. You go to a place where you have some quietness. You have some secret. And you close the door. And you pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a pattern. There's a place for prayer. And there's a person who you pray to. It's the Father. We pray our Father. Jesus is continuing this thought down in verse 9. You pray our Father which art in heaven. We're praying to the God of the universe. I just, back there, as our little class of new members was meeting, we were talking about how great God is. Imagine with me tonight that you're praying, because you are, to the God who stepped out on nothing and breathed stars into existence that are much larger than our sun. He reached down into the dust of the earth and made man and formed him and fashioned him the way that we are. And we still don't understand how this thing works completely, do we? And he put his mouth over our nose, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became an eternal being at that moment. We can't figure out the physical, much less the spiritual and all of that goes on there. We are an eternal being. We're a soul with a body. We're praying to a God who can make this happen, who made you happen. And the best we can do is mimic God in things that we do. We can try to figure out how He did it, and we can mimic that, and we can make things and invent things that look like what He did, which is so much better than what we do. And that God, the Father, hears our prayer. The psalmist said He perks His ears up to the prayer of the righteous. He wants to hear us. He longs to hear us when we pray. So we remember who to whom it is we pray. It would do our children good. It would do our grandchildren good to be reminded who we're praying to. To tell them, this is the one who created you that we're talking to right now. We got to do that quite often with little man over there. We got to remind him, bow your head, don't eat while we're praying. This is a special time. This is a sacred time. And one of these days he'll get it. The rest of them did. But you have to remind them, this is to whom we're praying to. This is the God whom we're praying to. The God who creates all things. The God who saves you. The God who can miraculously do things that He can heal people. He can raise the dead. This is the God we're talking to. Him, the God of the universe who holds everything in His hand. Do us good to remember that. And we're also thinking about the potential in prayer. He shall reward thee openly. He shall reward thee openly. If you'll pray to Him in secret, He rewards openly. Brother Monty, how many times you knelt in your study before you got up to preach? And then God rewards you openly, doesn't He? I remember talking to my dad about praying before he did surgery, praying before he saw a patient, praying when he was with the patient. You pray secretly, He rewards you openly. You're on your job, pray secretly, and He'll reward you openly. Commit your work unto the Lord, He said. Your thoughts will be established. Even the minor things in life, like what you think, will be established if you commit your work to the Lord. The major things that's going on in your life. Do things secretly and watch Him work openly. The next time you go to talk to somebody, talk to God about that person before you talk to that person. And watch Him reward you openly. The next time you teach a Sunday school class or work with children, forget all the hustle and the bustle that it takes to get ready for that. Don't do that first. Get down on your knees first and pray for those little children. Pray for those teenagers. Pray for those adults. And then get busy with the hustle and bustle of the teaching of the class. But talk to God secretly. And then whenever you stand before them openly, watch Him reward you openly. And as you're in your school class room, and as you're with your family, watch God. Watch Him work openly. I couldn't tell you the times. I don't know how many times it's happened, but there have been times where Rebecca and I've laid in the bed and we prayed before Emily was ever born. We prayed for all these kids secretly. And God rewards you openly. See how that works? I like what one guy, Robert Law, said. Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth and for earth. Samuel Chadwick said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. I want you to hear that one more time. The one concern of the devil is to keep you from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies. He fears nothing from prayerless work. He fears nothing from prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Thank you, Brother Chadwick. Great word. He trembles when you pray. It's a good thing to pray. And let it be the first business of the morning and the last business of the evening. So the power of prayer and fasting, that's what you're holding in your hand. This is an outline from Dr. Ronnie Floyd, pastor of First Baptist Springdale. This is his work. And I've just put it into a form that we can use. And these are key areas of concern. Listen to this. These are key areas of concern when it comes to holiness when we approach God. He lists several verses of Scripture. We're going to go over them in just a moment. To help the reader remember to be serious about God's holiness when you pray, when you approach God. Remember His holiness. So we need to be quietly honest with God and ourselves as we reflect on the answers to the questions that these verses will ask us. This is a heart exercise. This is a inner man exercise that we're going to do. so that we can participate in supernatural power and the presence of a holy God. We can get in on what He wants to do. So as we take a personal inventory, and I promise you, I'm going to take this test with you. Number one, the Bible verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The question is, do I worry about anything? The reason that question is asked is because we're supposed to give thanks for everything. Do I worry about anything? The second part of that question B, have I consistently thanked God for all things in my life? The bad as well as the good. Have I consistently thanked God? How many of you have had things that you've mussed over this week? Some of you that are super spiritual say, well, I have a burden, Brother Joe. Well, no, you're worrying yourself sick about it. That's what it is, right? Yeah. I've heard preachers say, yes, my flock burdens me. No, what you mean is they're worrying you, buddy. Cut through all of that stuff and just say, do I worry about things? God says not to worry about things. And if I worry about things, then I'm trying to take things into my own hands that I cannot change. I'm trying to control things that I have no business in trying to control. God controls these things. And so if it's a good thing that's happening to me, praise God. If it's a bad thing that's happening to me, thank God. I will not worry. I'm going to give Him thanks for it. The next one is, do I neglect to give Him thanks for breath, health, and life itself? We're supposed to give Him thanks for the things that we sometimes look over. Give Him thanks for everything. Here's an observation. The basics are often overlooked when times are good, but they're not when things are hard, when times are hard. You should give God thanks every day for everything. Point number two, Ephesians 3:20-21a. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Stop right there. What can God do? Is there anything too hard for God? To Him who can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. This goes way beyond what you and I could come up. We could do a brainstorming session right now and say, let's brainstorm what we like to see happen in this, the life of this church. And we could brainstorm some pretty awesome stuff, I would assume, right? That we would like to see happen. You know what? God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. We could say, all right, we want every person to stand up and pray for something you want God to do in the life of this church. Pray out loud. Everybody here tonight could pray out loud. And you could come up with all kinds of stuff that you could ask God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. Let that sink in. That doesn't mean we don't ask and we don't think about stuff. It just means that He can do above what we could ask or think. We need to remember that. We need to remember to whom we're talking, to whom we're asking, to whom we're thinking about what He can do. What keeps me then from serving God? That's the first question. I didn't finish the verse. According to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church. So what keeps me from serving God? What keeps you from serving God? He can do abundantly above what you could ask or think. Do I think myself not talented? Do I feel inferior? Am I slinking back because I... No, God can do this with you. God can give you. God can perform through you. God can enlighten you. God can give you the ability that you don't think you have if you will ask Him, if you will rely upon Him. Do you feel inferior? Why do I shy away from doing things in the name of our Heavenly Father? That's a very good question, isn't it? Thank you, Dr. Floyd, for asking it. Why do I shy away from doing things in the name of our Heavenly Father? I've told you the story before about God calling me to preach, right? I was sitting over there. God was calling me to preach in a revival service. And I'd already told Him that night, I'd prayed before I ever walked into that place, God, whatever You want, that's what I want to do. God, I'm tired of doing it the way I want to do it. God, it's up to You. You do with me as You want. I'm finished with my plans. I want Your plans. I want Your goals. And He kept telling me to preach, and I kept saying, you're kidding me, right? And sometimes y'all think maybe He got it wrong, right? But I'm sitting there having this conversation thinking maybe He meant to hit the guy in front of me or the person behind me. Because I'm the guy in communications class that was asked to take his keys out of his pocket and tell everybody what they fit, what this is the icebreaker, you know, for class. And I got it wrong. I couldn't do it. And you might have noticed this about me. There are times when the tongue doesn't get engaged with what the brain wants to say, and so sometimes I don't say exactly what I want to say. You don't have noticed that about me, but that's who I am. But God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we could ask or think. You know what we need to say? God, if that's what You want, if that's what You desire, God, I'm in. I'm all in. Count me in, God. I'll do it if that's what You want, because You can do above what I can do. You can do beyond what I could think or imagine. He can. I promise you, if God leads you to do something, He will equip you to do it. If God asks you to give something, He will make sure you have it to give, and you can't outgive God. If He tells you to go somewhere, you better go, because somebody else is going to get the blessing that's willing to go if you don't. You understand what I'm saying? And if somebody needs to be saved and God wants you to witness to them, you better do it, or you're going to miss a blessing and they may miss an eternity with God. Don't say, God, I can't do, I don't want to do this. Say, yes, God, whatever You want, I'm here at Your bidding for Your calling. That's why in every church that I've pastored, that's why I believe God has called men out to preach. He's called people out to do missions. That's why there's been people called to be full-time music people out of the places that I've pastored. I've had people leave the church that I depended on and went out into ministry. Are y'all still with me tonight? Right up here. It's not because of me, but it's because God helped us catch fire. God helped us catch traction, and we began to get what we're talking about here tonight. He can do beyond what you could ask or think. He can do with you beyond what you can imagine. And people stopped sitting on their hands and saying, not me, God. And they started saying, yes, God. And you can't imagine what God will do to somebody that says, yes, God. You can't imagine what He might do with you if you'll just say, yes, God. Stop saying, not now, God. Wait, God. I'm not ready, God. Stop saying that and say, yes, God, I will do what you want me to do. It's that easy. And watch God go to work through you and on your behalf. Point D, have I forgotten that He wants and deserves glory in and through my life in the in His church? Do y'all have that on your paper? I don't think I got everything on yours that I have on mine. And when something is accomplished, something of merit is accomplished, who gets the glory? It says right there in that verse, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church. It's God working to get the glory He deserves. Point number three, Romans 12:3. I say to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. When we want to tap into the presence of God, being in that place where His holiness is revered and it's lifted up, we've got to get this right. Let not anyone among you think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Here's a question for me and you. Am I overly proud of my accomplishments, my talents, or my family? Do I have a problem putting the concerns of others first? Do I have a rebellious spirit when I sense that God may want to change me or rearrange my thinking? Those are good questions. Do I swell up with pride when others compliment me more highly than he ought to think? This world's full of people like that. They think more highly than they ought to think of themselves. Folks, that's not the way Christians are supposed to be, is it? We're supposed to say, I rank under God and I rank under you. Amen? I rank under you. Whatever God tells me to do, if He wants to rearrange my thinking, and He may need to from time to time, folks, He may need to say, huh, son, that was me. He may need to do that with you sometimes. From time to time, we get to thinking more highly than we ought to of ourselves, and He has to say, no, sir, no, ma'am, wait just a second. That was me, not you. We ought to just say, God, you're right. If tonight you are finding yourself there, you need to say to God, you're right, God, I'm wrong. And by the way, here's something that I battle with personally. Placing yourself, I don't even know how to put it now that I brought it up, but when I forget it. If it comes to me, I'll give it to you. God must not have wanted that. Let all bitterness, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Oh, man. This right here will probably hit every one of us in this place tonight. It won't leave any of us untouched. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Do I find fault or complain or argue? The next time that you have the temptation to murmur or argue or complain about something, Here's the first thing I want you to remember. Red flag should go up and say, do I really want to be where God's working? Do I really want to be in tune with God? Do I really want to be able to approach His holiness? Do I want to be able to have His ear? Do I want to see Him work in my life? That ought to be the first thing. That ought to be a check in your spirit anytime you start wanting to murmur, complain, argue, raise an issue about somebody else out of anger. Do I really want to go there? Because if I go there, watch this, if I go there, I've just cut myself off from what God wants to do. I've just said, God, You can take the back seat for a little while because I'm taking the front. So now it's become about me, and it's not about Him. Now, we all got stuff we'd like to raise a fuss about, don't we? Don't we? We all want to, man, don't we like that? Don't we like a good story? Oh, yeah. Tell me more. Scandal. Yeah, bring it on. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, clamor fits all of that, that murmur and listening to things you shouldn't be and getting into stories you shouldn't get into with people. Let's be honest. Can I have an honest moment? I think God will let me say this. We've been playing basketball since October and we're ready to be done. Amen. We're ready to be done. But my homeschool kids love to play basketball, and so we drive to Tulsa to watch them play basketball. We drive to Timbuktu, Missouri to watch them play basketball. You know what I'm saying? 2 and 3 times a week. And one of the guys that's on, his kids are on the team, and he helps coach the team. He and I were talking the other day over lunch, and he said, we said something about basketball, and he started to say something. He said, nope. That would be murmuring. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going to go there. And I just looked at him and I said, yep. You didn't have to say anything. I know exactly what you're thinking. That's what I'm talking about here. You know, it's easy to get into conversations with each other and we just start ripping things and ripping people apart. Are y'all with me tonight? He said, let that go away. Put that away. Take that off like a garment. Take it off. Don't wear that anymore. Be done with it. Don't go there anymore. Don't let that kind of stuff keep you from what God wants in your life. Keep you from where God wants you in your life. Don't go down that road because then you won't be in the holiness. You won't be in the presence. You won't be in that fellowship and that relationship with God like you could be. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice means you thought about it before you said it, doesn't it? You contemplated it before you did it. Do I find fault, complain, argue? Do I nurse and delight in a critical spirit? Do I carry a grudge against any believer because they don't see something the way I do? That'd be easy this time of the year, wouldn't it? With this political race heating up, you don't see the things the way I do, and I don't see the things the way you do, every one of us. Well, you might have voted for Franklin, and you voted for Abner. Hey, stop! Put it away. Don't go down that street. Brother Joe, you're crawling down the seat with us tonight. Yes, I am. I'm getting in the grill tonight. But this is what we need here. If we want to have the presence before God like we need not go there. Don't go there. This could cross denominational lines, could cross theological lines. Might include people outside or inside our church. It doesn't have to be theological perspective that we've got, that we're talking. It could be some personal preference that we have.
Here's a question. I don't know if I put it on your page there or not. Do I speak unkindly about persons when they are not present? If that's not on yours, write it in there. Here's a final question. Am I often angry with myself, with others, or even God? Am I often angry with myself, with others, or even God? And here's what I wanted to say a while ago. If I get angry with myself, maybe because of this, that, or the other, poor performance at work, poor performance in the family. Are y'all listening to me? I get angry with myself about something. You know what I've just done? I have become a proud person, and I am elevating myself to a level I shouldn't. That's what's happening. That ought to be a time when I humble myself and say, God, oh, how I need you. So I'm not able to do this without you. And remember, a yes answer to any of these questions needs to be confessed and repented of so that we can be authentic and transparent Christians. We need, if you answered yes to any of these questions, you need to take some time this week with this heart inventory sheet and get along with God and say, God, I didn't do so well with that question. Go in your closet, shut your door. I don't have to know about this. By the way, I'm your pastor. And you can come and get counsel from me if you want to. But stuff like this, if it happened in private, leave it in private. You don't have to tell me about it. Tell God about it. You don't have to come to me like a priest and tell me stuff. Please don't. Oh, I don't want to know. I don't really want to know. But if you do come to me, I'm going to set a box up outside, bore a hole in it, and I'm going to ask you to leave some offering in there, okay? You're going to have to pay penance. No, take it to God. Go in your closet, shut the door, sit down in that chair, get down on your knees, whatever you can do, and say, God, I didn't get that right. And I need to be right with you. Because I need to have the fellowship. I need to be able to come into your presence, the holy presence of God, and have an audience with you. We got to take this seriously. And here's the final step. Here's the final step. As you're going through this heart inventory these next 3 weeks, won't you fast from lunch or from supper? So, well, I'm going to fast through the night, Brother Joe. Sorry, didn't work. Fast and pray. God will reveal some things to you if you really get serious with Him. He'll start peeling back the scales, and you'll see things a little more clearly. Let's pray together. Brother Don, just play something tonight, softly. Lord, we need to come to this moment with all seriousness. We ask that you'd help us to be genuine and transparent before you. With these scripture verses, Lord, I pray you'll help us to walk through them and say, God, help me to know. Now help me to change. And help me to walk right with my God, my Savior and my Creator. Help me to walk. To love mercy, to walk humbly, to live justly before my God. You deserve, Father, for us to say yes. Yes, God, whatever you want. Now tell me what to do. You deserve that. God, we shouldn't say, not now, wait. Help us to say yes. And then watch you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you how it prunes us, how it corrects us where we need it so that we can be fruitful. Lord, thank you for the circumstances in our life that correct us. Help us not to bow up against you, Lord. Stiffen our neck, bow our back. Help us to have soft hearts, moldable and pliable and usable. In Jesus' name I pray. Brother Don's going to play, and I just want to ask you to sit there quietly for a few minutes.